Sat in the World. I'm John Batchelor with the very generous Professor Charlotte Blattner of the University of Bern, speaking of an article that she and her colleagues have published in Nature magazine about recommendations to go forward with court cases in different sovereignties across the globe because governments are not acting sufficiently or in time enough to protect individuals in the country who are prey to the vicissitudes of climate change. The European Court of Human Rights now has accepted this case, although there had to be a rush, I understand, to get everything in by December of 22. It's now before the courts. And Charlotte, as I understand it, you used the logic of science, but you have recommendations going forward to establish a baseline to look specifically at cases that can be documented and also to use numbers and not percentages, other recommendations. These recommendations, how were they hammered out? Did the women bringing this case, the Klimasenioren in Schweiz, did they all come together as a group? Did you assist them? Is that what's going on now? This is the frontier of how to do this.
Excellent questions. Thanks so much for giving me the opportunity to respond to them. In fact, the role of science in these climate litigation cases is integral to their success. If judges don't understand the science, they will not rule in favor of the case because they find or feel that it's unsettled or that it's not clear enough or they find it too complex, saying, for example, oh, this issue is not justiciable. We should, have parliament decide over this, that have experts dealing with climate science, etc. But over the past few years, more and more informal information groups have been gathered around courts who want to know more about climate sciences and how to translate those findings into legal terms. For example, just because we know that climate change is anthropogenic in nature doesn't mean we can fully say these sort of emissions from this kind of emitter lead to that sort of violation precisely of this person on this continent. So it's a very complex and diffuse system. And so thus far, climate scientists have basically put out a lot of communication about, you mentioned it, new warnings about climate change and its impact and the irreversibility of global warming and that we need to act now rather than later, etc. But somehow law and policy has been more or less, reluctant to fully respond to these demands. And so with climate litigation on the rise, scientists are now using these avenues to also intervene in court. And so what we did is we formulated a third-party intervention. And that basically means we're an independent group of experts who seek to give courts help with dealing with this complicated climate science law interface. And we didn't basically discuss this with the Klimasenioren because we are independent. And there's also an expectation of independence that these experts bring to these interventions. So we evaluated that from our expertise alone. And I don't know, the intervention is available online. So for anyone who's interested in that, it's just a 10-page document that one can download and look at. As you can see from this document as well, the third-party intervention is more or less independent of the specific applicants. So whether they have cardiovascular diseases or any pre-medical issues that influence their, their effectiveness to global warming and heat periods in particular, doesn't matter at all. This is more evaluated from a broader bird's eye perspective. What's the state of climate research? How are elderly females in Switzerland affected by especially warming? And how is Switzerland doing enough to basically protect them against this in light of the convention rights? That's the focus of that. And so, sorry, this has been a long answer, Coming back to what the learning lessons are, basically for us, this was an iterative process. So we didn't know how this precisely works and what's to be done about this going into the third party intervention. We just had a distinct and common understanding that we should do something about this and that this is a unique chance to get this communication between science and law into court and into the eye of the public. And so we are especially looking toward building a common conversation. You mentioned this, for example, having the same baseline years makes things more easily digestible for judges, for example, or also being really clear about numbers, not making it overly complicated, showing what the policy relevance of certain observations is, because not all scientists are usually, drawn to underlining that.
The two most attracted me. First of all, making the case that women indeed have heat problems that are not commonplace for men, especially yep. over 64, having to do with the cardiovascular fitness and having to do with solitary living. Very convincing to me. And that's both a legal point of view and a scientific point of view. But the one that I was compelled by to puzzle is to connect the climate to the defendants, to the perpetrators. That also is a legal issue. Do you mean name industries, name people who are not mitigating their emissions? Is that what you're addressing?
Mm-hmm. Excellent questions again, Mr. Batchelor. Thank you. So regarding the first, that's a really interesting point. Remember, this is a case of strategic litigation. So it's not like Climate Seniors Association was formed by itself and contacted a lawyer to deal with the case. It was the reverse case. A lawyer basically designed this case to find an avenue to force government to do more about climate change. And so what she did, she set up a working plan for how to do that. And as I mentioned, because procedural bars are set so high, the smaller the group of plaintiffs is, the more likely your case will be successful. And so she focused on elderly females in Switzerland. But back at the time when she did that in 2016, the science around the special effectiveness of elderly females, especially in Switzerland, wasn't settled. Indeed, one of our experts on the intervention, Ana Vicedo Cabrera, she was actually pushed by this case to look back onto her data to see if there are statistical differences between the effectiveness of elderly females compared to elderly males, and found that there was a significant difference there going on.
We have 1 minute left, Professor, if you'll address the question of defendants.
Yes, of course. Just a quick response here. Attribution science is vastly increasing and professionalizing, and especially impact attribution is now on the rise. And this could significantly aid in litigation cases, also showing that to some extent, causation could be assumed. And if not, at least there should be an apportionment in proportionality to causation of GHG emissions.
And the European Court of Human Rights, do you have an expectation of when there'll be a resolution?
We're all speculating about that. Some are saying we can expect the ruling this year. Others are expecting a ruling by next year. The third climate case litigated at the court, the Duarte Agostino case, just finished its hearing a few days ago. So it's all set for the court to go into deliberation now.
I thank Charlotte Blattner, senior lecturer, researcher at the Institute of Public Law at the University of Bern, Switzerland. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.